Welcome to About Sex. I'm your host, Angela Skirtu, and with me, as always, is Joshua.
Hi.
And on this show, of course, we talk about everything from love and relationships to sex.
Really? We talk about sex?
I think so, because it's about sex.
That's really innovative.
I know, right? Here. We're talking all about sex.
Nobody does it.
So you were actually just talking to me about a very interesting topic, and it's about porn.
And it comes back to the last show that we did. When you brought up kind of the rape
and we
want to
make sure
fetish,
we're not okay with condoning anything
that
like
really,
rape, but
that,
it brought
that
something
really,
up for you.
Honestly, that kind of hit me hard. I was like, why are you talking about
because
that?
Because some of my clients because, bring sure. it up and I'm okay. trying to make it safe if it does happen.
But to me, like, there's weird genres of pornography like that, like
okay.
rape fetish. And another one that's being very popular, kind of out of nowhere, is incest porn. And it's not real incest porn. They're acting.
They're
so
actors.
These are all actors. None of them are actually related. They're all adults.
Mm-hmm.
But then they act. They've created an
they
environment
create a
where
scenario.
They're like, oh, my stepmom. And they always go with the stepmom, so it's not real incest a lot of time. But
okay, so it's a level out or something.
It's still incest.
It's stepmother,
still incest. In a lot,
and
most,
actually most,
most
of the
states, it's
actual
still considered illegal.
Well, I was going to say in most cases, it is often a step-parent that is molesting a person, which is terrible. I'm like, this is the hard part is because some of these topics are actually very serious. And I think it was important for us to come up with this as a more serious topic.
Because to me, I don't know what the actual effect is, but it to me, it seems weird that there's such a prevalence in this category of pornography because that's not something you would want to happen. Like, the reality is that nobody wants to, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't want that to happen to somebody in my family, for
Absolutely.
Them to have an incestuous relationship, because really, biologically, that's not a good way to go. Because you get bad mongoloid children
well,
out of it.
Usually it's not,
and
it's not a consensual
it's
relationship.
Well,
a lot of times it's
an adult or a teenager with a younger child who they mm-hmm. aren't, they can't give consent.
And it's non-consensual, and we would also call it exploitive.
Mm-hmm. Exploitative. Yeah,
exploitative. There's ethics that we use as sex therapists, and mm-hmm. one of them is that all adults need to be consenting.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody needs to be honest with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be not exploitative. And there's different versions of that. So like prisoners with prison guards.
They're not allowed to give consent.
They're not allowed to give consent because it's a one-down relationship. They don't have certain rights that
they're
the
not even allowed
officer
to give
has.
Consent to other inmates.
Nope. And there's different versions of that. Like even doctor to patient, for example,
mm-hmm.
not okay because it's a one down relationship.
It's more taboo. It's not illegal, but
we are given an ethical guideline to, like, if we did find it
as a medical practitioner, you yourself are not allowed to have any relationship with your clients.
Not while they're a current client, and then a not again for like another year or 2 years after. That's
after
the ethical
yep.
code for therapists.
That's for your LMFT code.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But anyhow, like, that's the point, is that going back to this taboo or, you know, like the what was it, incest that we're talking
incestuous
about?
Incestuous porn.
It's
yeah.
usually not consensual.
And we're not talking about the real stuff, because 100%.
Absolutely.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
But this is, let's clarify what it is. It's pornography with adult actors who are acting like they're related. That's
but what
it.
Do we think about those themes, though? You know, like, is it...
I
is
wonder it if
it
almost normalizes it for some people where
yeah.
they see that and they get off on it, and then they have a stepbrother or stepsister and they're like, well, that was kind of hot to watch, you know.
I don't know, I haven't studied it.
I haven't read any statistics or anything like that about it. It's new. Honestly, this is new. I've never seen anything like that all of a sudden.
It's been more recently in
it's
porn
everywhere.
Videos.
Everywhere. And I don't, I don't watch porn, but... I couldn't even keep a straight face.
Yeah, but
every
I mean,
guy watches porn. So just to be clear, every single
do.
Nope, every single man either currently does or has at one point.
Has at one point. Actually, there was 100%. There was a research study they tried to do on like the difference between men who had watched porn and men who hadn't, and they could not find a single man who had not at least seen porn once. And
mm-hmm.
so they just abandoned the study.
Yeah, because the reality is that that doesn't exist. By the age of like 13, most young men have seen porn.
My guess to your question earlier would be that It's what was not the question? So you mentioned, like, how much does this porn influence the regular population? Right. And my guess is that people are on a spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are some people like you who are going to be like, why do people like that? All right, whatever. That's a thing. But they're not going to think anything sure. of it. But there are going to be people who are the outliers who sometimes do see that and they say, well, maybe that is hot. I don't think that's the most common person who mm-hmm. is going to watch that kind of porn. But, I mean, what are we saying as a culture if that's becoming popular?
Yeah, the norm is that people watch that. It is becoming one of the biggest categories, actually.
That's so weird.
It is. It confuses me.
It's like, what about that sexy, really? But I guess it's sexy for someone because it's getting popular.
Like we were talking on our last show, taboo.
It's taboo. Well, that's the thing.
What makes it exhilarating to some people.
Something about danger. Something about, like, you're not supposed to do this.
Oh, no.
How dare you think of it.
Oh, no.
There's some version, but, like...
Yeah, I mean, the reality... Here's the reality. If I were a young man and single and my father had remarried and I had a stepmother, I'm an adult and she's an adult and she's always around the house looking sexy, I'm sure.
Walking
I'm
around
sure
in towels.
I'm sure I could find her attractive if she was beautiful. That probably wouldn't happen, but...
Well, but maybe that's a version of it.
That is a version of it. And that's kind of what is depicted in these things normally.
Okay, so it's like usually it's, trying to depict
they
adults.
They don't. That's good. They don't ever say that this is a minor. They never say it in these, but they'll dress really like a schoolgirl kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still like off to college or something, you know. They're a schoolgirl at college, you know, but no college students dress like a Catholic schoolgirl.
Just going back to that culture, how much this could affect culture in Japanese culture. They have taken the schoolgirl fetish too far in some cases, not everyone, but there are situations where that's kind of been overdone and there's some unsafety with that culture at times.
With Japan, they don't allow any in actual pornography. They don't allow any pubic region to be shown at all. You can't show it at all.
There'll always be a circle or a dot
covering
it. It'll
always be a blur. Mm-hmm. They have to blur it. So every single one. And because of that, what's become popular is animated pornography, which is, they call it hentai.
Mm-hmm.
They can show everything in that. And along with that, they can show young looking girls. And they say, oh no, these are adults. But a lot of them look
very
children.
Young.
So they've kind of created a culture where anything goes on cartoon mode, you know, because they're banned from doing real adult porn in video.
Well, this isn't it's not an easy topic to discuss, and we're absolutely trying to be respectful here. But the reality is there are some lines that, I mean, I don't know where they are and where you should or shouldn't cross, but I understand that sex and taboo is kind of fun and exciting, but I also really value people being safe and respectful and consensual. And so I do worry about some of the lines that are being crossed in different areas.
Right. And we're not going to make anything legal. I'm a very liberal person when it comes to that. But it's more just I've noticed it and it kind of makes me go, huh, why is that there?
So
that's kind of
maybe
weird.
You should be a responsible porn consumer. What would that mean? What's a responsible porn consumer? I don't know.
No idea. Just
it's a confusing topic, but all right, we can move on.
We got nowhere on that.
Well, that's all right, we're trying to cover
it
a little bit.
It just confuses me, that's all, that those categories exist. And sure, some people may find it attractive, just don't do it in real life, come on.
Keep people safe,
let's keep
right?
Keep people safe.
Well, so we can cover a little more about some of the things that I do in my therapy, which I wanted to cover a little bit about painful intercourse.
Oh, yeah.
And
good times.
And maybe premature ejaculation or ED. We'll see if we'll get to those two.
Is it not supposed to always be painful?
No.
I've been doing it all wrong.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No, but actually 1 in 3 women suffers from painful intercourse at some point. And but the crazy thing about this is a lot of people don't know about it and they don't know what to do to treat themselves if they have painful intercourse.
What are some of the things that cause painful intercourse?
Oh, I have a few of these. So the episiotomy, scar tissue after getting episiotomy.
So that's where they cut open the bottom skin next
between
to the vagina
and the anus. Yeah, they do that
during a vaginal birth.
Absolutely. And depending on how deep.
Honestly, that sounds painful in itself.
It is. I mean,
you ain't allowed to bring a knife near that area.
Well,
I
hear there's debate, actually, on whether you should even do episiotomies anymore or just let the vagina naturally tear.
One of our friends, I'm not going to say who, talked about it. Like, they actually talked to their doctor about it, and they read that it really doesn't change anything, like, medically. It doesn't make it safer. You don't get lower rates of infection. The only reason the doctors do it is it's easier to fix. It's easier to sew back up for them. It's a quick stitch.
Oh.
That's it. That's the only actual benefit. So to you, don't do it, because you might not rip as far as they pull.
Ouch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and like,
and it's going to be painful either way. Like, it really, they're cutting you. Or you're splitting open.
Or you're you're so delicate in how you discuss.
It sounds very painful, I have to say.
Back to painful intercourse.
This bunny trail was brought to you by
Joshua.
Josh.
So anyhow, after getting scar tissue, like, what happens is the scar tissue doesn't heal very well.
Because that's an area that has constant use and regular.
And so then it's very difficult, and it ends up either being not loose enough to open up for a penis, or it ends up to touch it, the muscles squeeze, like they squeeze together tight shut to protect itself.
It's almost
itself.
Like a fear response from the pain.
Yeah, a vagina needs to be able to very loosely open up or contract.
You need to make sure your vagina feels safe
and supported and loved.
And supported.
Absolutely.
And then it will open up and it will be embrace you. But make sure to love your vagina.
But if it's not doing that effectively, there are treatments. But then the other reason, going back to your question, is after menopause. It's a pretty common one.
Why is that?
Well, because you have two key hormones that aren't working the way they should. Testosterone is what creates our desire as females. And so you're not getting your testosterone working in the same way that it should afterwards. But then also the estrogen is what causes us to lubricate. And so your estrogen levels are off as well. And a lot of women dry up, and even some women will crack a little down there or bleed, and it's kind of painful.
Almost like the back of your elbow. It gets real
rough.
Like
if you've ever gotten really, like chapped.
If you get chapped.
It's
chafed.
Very painful. And so... Yeah.
Like some just during regular day or during sex?
During sex or trying to put something in it. And so...
Yeah, don't store your keys there.
Yeah. Don't store your keys in a vagina. This message...
Especially during menopause.
Especially during menopause. Okay. You could do it afterwards, though. Sure. Now, but so anyhow, one of the treatments that's really important is actually physical therapy.
Yeah.
Physical therapy is a muscle treatment that teaches women how to open up and expand the muscles again and contract them in the way that they're supposed to be done. But there's also medical interventions that can be done too. Like there are pills that help with the estrogen and the testosterone hormonal levels.
Hormone replacement.
And there's desensitizing type stuff while you're working on it that they can give like creams.
Like a numbing cream.
Like a numbing cream.
Yeah.
And then as far as sex therapy.
Actually, there are some condoms that have that built into it for guys who are sensitive. Just turn the condom the other way.
Well, there you go. There you
so
go.
It already
turn
numbed
it
a bit. I don't use those.
They're not fun if you don't want to be numbed. They just take away the feeling for a guy.
No good. But if you're,
But then the other treatment would be sex therapy. So, like, sometimes I'll have women who are still doing the physical therapy or something medical, but just emotionally they're struggling with it because it's still been a very painful experience for a while. And I essentially call
and
it...
And part of it can be a mental response with the muscles contracting. That could be them trying to
protect
it. We
got to be careful with this because this can piss people off. So it is absolutely a physical response, but the anxiety around it is the mental response.
Oh, everything's physical. Even your brain is.
Like the muscles are absolutely... why this is a big deal is that women would go to their doctors and the doctors would say, it's all in your head. You're just basically called them crazy for experiencing this. They were experiencing real pain.
Yeah, but they also diagnosed them as hysterical, which just means they're being annoying. So guess what? Doctors don't know everything. Always.
Well,
and sometimes
they'll
blow you off because they don't know how to fix it. Really.
Well, I want to give my due respect to all my doctors.
Oh, they're amazing.
I work with a lot of doctors.
They're amazing, but not every doctor.
What it is that doctors have a very short window of time to work with you. And with that being said, they are going to go for the most life-threatening thing. That's most important to them. So like cancer, they're going to go towards cancer.
Oh, yeah.
But painful intercourse, sometimes they'll say, why don't you drink some wine or something like that?
Sure.
But so really it's a matter of time frame and taking care of the most important issue. But anyhow, back to sex therapy. One of the things I do is just help women reduce the performance anxiety around sex so that they can try it again. Cause some women, they'll have done the muscle stuff and they've been trying to work on making it better, but they're still just really freaked out about it. And so it's not that it's not really happening. It's just, it's an anxiety response that is added to.
That's adding on top of the physical issues.
Or they've stopped having sex with their partner altogether. And my job is to help them reintroduce some type of intimacy.
That's bad, because then if you don't use it, you lose it. I mean, really, those are muscles down there.
Well,
it's just like if you don't get up your butt and walk around, you're not going to be able to get up your butt and walk around much.
Yeah, at some point you'll lose your ability to walk.
There are muscles you use during sex.
Absolutely. And they atrophy if you don't use them. The same is true for men, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
You don't use it, you lose it to some degree.
Oh, we use it. Trust me. It gets regular use.
Well, I mean, if you were in a situation where you weren't having sex with your partner regularly, you would have to learn some other way.
Oh, there are plenty of ways to figure that out. There's manual.
yes, that's a true
statement. That's not a problem for guys.
Well, so anyhow, in sex therapy, what I'm doing is I'm just basically helping them while they're doing these other treatments to introduce intimacy in a way that's non-penetrative at first until the muscles are working better, and then slowly introducing
teaching them ways
it.
To be intimate without having to go for the full sex experience.
Yeah.
Because there are plenty of other ways to
be
feel good during sex and sensuality.
Absolutely. There's making out, there's cuddling, there's massage, there's sensual massage.
Oh,
there's
massage?
Using toys.
Massage?
Massage?
like a wiffle bat?
What do you mean?
Wiffle ball?
What? I don't know what you're saying.
Do you know what a wiffle ball is?
I know what a wiffle ball is. I'm not sure how you would use it in
you
sex.
You said we're going to use toys.
Oh.
What kind of toys?
I'm imagining people like hitting the ball in the bedroom.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyhow, and then those are the kinds of things that help people to reintroduce sex after pain. So I think that's actually a good time for us to stop.
No, we were going to talk about ED.
I know, but we're getting towards the end. So we'll have to cover ED.
What are we at?
We'll have to cover ED in the next episode. Mm. We're just towards the end. So if you want more information, please contact us at www.therapistinst.louis.com. As always, Josh is with me.
Hi.
And this is Angela. Thank you.
Good night. No, hit the stop button.